is sakana? Is that metaphysical sakana? Is that real? I don't know. And the third day, it's just your body feels weak. And he says, that's, of course, pshat. We know when Shimon and Levi went to go attack Shechem, it was biyom ha-shlishi, biyosam koavim. They weren't besakana on the third day in Shechem. It's simply that they were in pain. We know the Rashi writes on Be'ilonei Mamre, why did Hashem Dafka appear to Avram in the chilek of Mamre? He says, because Mamre was the one who advised Avram to get a bris milah. He says, and what? And without Mamre's advice, Avram wouldn't have gotten a bris milah? This is Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu, the one who withstood 10 tests. Who was shechted himself for God. Without Mamre, he wouldn't have gotten a milah. Ridiculous. So he says the pshat is that Avra was actually testing them, Aner Eshkol and Mamre. He wanted to see if Aner Eshkol and Mamre were up to par, were really his good friends that he thought they were, whether they were Toku Kavara or not. So he asked them what to do. So Aner and Eshkol obviously failed the test miserably because they told not to get a mule. But Mamre passed the test with flying cars. Another pshat that the Sitzach Chum says that Avra was convinced that all three of them were going to tell him not to get a mule, and then he was going to get a mule anyway. It was going to be because there was someone pushing him against doing the mule. He was going to get more for doing the milah when he had all this friction against him. And then a third shot, he says that he was actually asking about whether he should get the milah in private or in public. Hashem never tells Avram where, you know, in what setting he should do the milah, whether it should be done privately or publicly. And we find that Mamre says get the milah dafka b'farhesia. Aner and Eshkol are too afraid of all Avram's enemies, but he says dafka do a person. And we see a Kadosh Baruch Hu agrees to that. He says to Avram, I'll tear Avram. In last week's parasha, he says don't be afraid. He says listen to what Mamre said, and that's why he was zocha for Hashem to appear in his portion. And then, interestingly, this is like we'll go to Medrash, another pshat, is that really what happened was Avram gave a milah to Aner and Eshkol, and they both died. So then he wanted to give a milah to Mamre. So Mamre said, what's the problem? He says, the problem is that you yourself don't have a milah yet. He says, how can you give a milah if you don't have a milah? Himol yimol, and the pasuk at the end of last week's parasha. You yourself need to get a milah before you're roi to give milah. And then Avram gave himself a milah, and then he was only a Mamre a milah. That's why Mamre was zocha to have Hashem appear in his chelek.
Which Medrash is that?
It's quoted by the Sifsech HaKamim. Go to there. Okay. And the question is, but I don't understand. Avram happened to be living in the Chilek of Mamre. So this isn't like, oh, Mamre was Zocha to have the Shekhinah there. That's where Avram was living. And if Avram was living in the Chilek of Mamre, Hashem would have been. So the answer is obvious. The answer is Sifsech HaKamim says no. He says, because it's Kedela Galgil's Chosolav. Hashem set it up that way. Hashem set it up that it's because he knew that Mamre was going to, you know, was gonna advise Avram, he set it up in such a way that Hashem should appear in that Chilek. The question is, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu only take advice from Mamre regarding bris milah? What about anything else? So Sifsech HaKamim says, either somehow Avram knew he wasn't going to be commanded about any other mitzvah, or even if he wasn't being commanded about another mitzvah, we know that milah is a one-time deal, so you got to do the milah the right way. But if you have even mitzvah tefillah, but so fine, so I miss until today, so put until tomorrow. So what's the big deal? So Avram wasn't so concerned about asking a child about other mitzvahs; he was dafka concerned about asking about bris milah. The Gemara tells us in Adar on Daf Lama Tesa Mabeis, and the Gemara on Daf Mem and Aleph, the Gemara discusses the mitzvah of bikur cholim. The Gemara mentions that a person who visits a chole and the person who is a ben gilo of the chole, meaning to say that a person has the same mazel, same astrological constellations as the person who's a chola. The Gemara says that you take away 1/60th of that person's illness. When the Gemara talks about it, the Gemara says, why do you just bring in 60 people? The Gemara says it doesn't work that way. It doesn't drop to zero. It goes in percentages. It gets smaller and smaller as more people come in. The Gemara actually quotes a remez for the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim from a very, very odd remez. They went to the pasuk parshas Korach. The pasuk says when Moshe says to Korach, he says, "Im kemos kol adam yemusun eluf kudas kol adam yipaked alayam lo Hashem shlachani." Hashem says to Moshe, "If you die like a regular person, like you die on your deathbed, so then Hashem didn't tell me. But if the ground opens up and swallows you whole, then obviously Hashem sent me as a messenger." So what does it do with Bikur Cholim? So the Gemara says the pshat is because if you die like a person on his deathbed who has visitors to come and visit him, I as mitzvah Bikur Cholim, then obviously Hashem didn't send me. This is the remez of Bikur Cholim, the Gemara in Adarim. Very, very odd remez. In fact, there are many better remez. What about this whole week's, this week's parsha? This parsha is a pretty good rise of Bikur Cholim. So the Yoreim actually, it's in Rashi test quotes that he has other makoros of Bikur Cholim. He quotes Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu. We know the famous Gemara in Shabbos Kuflam and Gimel and Sota Yadal. The Gemara talks about Mahu Chanu Nafatochan. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is Mevaker Cholim. To be Mevaker Cholim also, right? It's also based on the pasuk in Gemara above Mitzia and Daf Lamed Darshins pasuk Mahu Datol Lohem. It's a Derech Yel Chuvah. So one of the drushes the Gemara there has above Mitzia is that you have to be Mevaker Cholim. The Rambam famously in Hilchos Avon Perek Yadal Halacha Aleph includes Bikur Cholim under the category of Ahatul Erech Kamocha, where he has a whole bunch of things. He has Nichum Avelim and Bikur Cholim, a whole bunch of different mitzvos that are included in the general category of Ahatul Erech Kamocha. There's machlokas whether it's a mitzvah derabban or it's a doraisa. Either way, Bikur Cholim is for sure a mitzvah, depending, you know, how much of a mitzvah it is. The Maharal actually in Gurari makes an interesting diuk. He says, we see that when Hashem comes to Avram, Avram doesn't say anything to Hashem, right? We don't find that Hashem, we don't find that Hashem said anything to Avram. We just see Hashem appears and then Avram's running out to the Malachim. So Maral's Medayik, he says, you see from here that part of the mitzvah bikur chum doesn't necessarily entail you speaking to the chol. You got to just go there and you'll make him feel better. You don't actually have to say anything to him when you go. The tour in Yoridis and Shin Lamane, which is about bikur cholim, he comments it's a mitzvah gedola to go visit a chola, and he says you should be mispal for him if he needs anything. The Beis Yosef comments the purpose of being mivakir chol is a very, very technical, practical reason. He says you should go there to sweep the floors and keep the rooms looking nice, just in general to make the chola feel good and to make it feel wanted and cared for. In other words, you should make the chola feel like he's actually, like people miss him and the people, want him to get better soon. That actually, I'm sure there's studies been done that, when a person feels wanted, when a person feels like he's important, so that obviously that'll help him, improve his physical state as well. Now, halacha l'maisa, are you allowed to do bikur chol over the phone? This is a big shaila. Obviously, this shaila didn't come up until...
Are you allowed to?
Let's say mitzvah bikur chol. Is there a mitzvah kiyum a mitzvah chol over the phone? So this is a big machlokas. That's Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Waldenberg, writes in his shuva, in Chela K, in... Rav Waldenberg's shuvas are broken up. He has strange names for each of his halakim. So this chalak is called Ramat Rachel. There are different names for each of his. I think they might have been dedicated for different people, maybe. So this is called Chalak Ramat Rachel and Simon Ches Osvav. He writes that if you're learning or if you can't visit the chola for some reason, you're learning or doing something else, he says you can do bikur cholam by asking his friends how he's doing, or you can even call him on the phone. And he says that would be good enough. He says he gives a very strange example. He says, let's say if we know a person's mudar hana, if you take a neder not to get hana from someone, so Allah says you're not right. Typically you can't get hana from the person if you took a neder. So if a person was mudar hana from a chole, you're still allowed to ask about how he's doing. And that's not a violation of your neder, right? If you ask about how the chole is doing. And he says, if you call him over the phone, you're essentially yotzei the mitzvah of bikur cholim from all aspects. And he says, and we're speaking of a chol who's in a hospital. If he's in a hospital, he says, but you coming to visit him, you're not going to do anything for him. Meaning, he has a staff who's taking care of him. He's being provided with meals anyway. So the guy already has everything he needs. So he says, what are you doing? All you're going to do is cheer him up anyway. So cheer him up over the phone. He says, what do you have to go and run, 30 miles to go to a hospital? He says, call him on the phone. That's it. He says, yotzei the mitzvah. He says, you have to knock a shruach and you can daven for him. He says, you don't have to go run to the hospital to do that for him. And he says, okay, maybe there's more hana if you go to the hospital. Okay, he says, if I'm learning the base medrash, and the cheshbon is, well, I give 30% versus 80% hana, okay. So that's a cheshbon. He says, maybe it's not worth the extra 50% hana. He's already basically being taken care of. He already has all his needs taken care of for the most part. So he says, I'm not adding enough to justify me, leaving the base medrash necessarily for that. And then he says, but then he backs down a little bit. He says, maybe there's a tzad to say that if I'm mispal in front of the choleh, it's going to be even better. Why is that even better if I'm mispal in front of the chol? This is based on Gemara in Adarim, Gemara in Shabbos. Gemara says that the Shechina is in front of the on top of the chol. The pasuk says in Tehillim, Hashem Yisaden al Erez device. The Gemara in that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is on top of the bed of a sick person. The Gemara in Shabbos learns out there's actually a halacha. The Gemara in Adarim and Shabbos says that your person is not allowed to sit down on a chair that's lower than the chole. That's higher than the chole. It's higher than the chole because you're sitting on top of the Shechina because the Shechina is on top of the chole. So he says that's all. It's just maybe your tefillos are better if you're in front of the chole because then the Hakadosh Baruch Hu is right there. So that's a tzaddi says that maybe you really should go to the chola himself and visit. It sounds like B.E. Colonel Tzitz Eliezer is not so convinced that you have to go run to the hospital. Rav Ovadia, Zecher Tzadik Livrach, and Yechav Adas, and Chila Gimel Simon P. Gimel, he says that if you have the opportunity to visit a chola yourself, he says, and calling him or sending him a letter, which is very outdated, but calling him is not good enough. He says, you're not going to be able to say Bikur Chol. He says, because even though you can daven when you're not there, but he says, a tefillah in front of the chola, as we already mentioned from the end of Tzitz Eliezer, is much more mikubal, it's much more accepted from HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you daven in front of the chola. We also mentioned, Rav Ovadia mentions that when you're in front of a chola, you don't have to mention his name. In fact, it might be a bad idea to mention his name because that could arouse some kind of midas hadin if you mention his name. When you're there in front of him, fine. And that's also, we know why people sometimes change their names when they get sick for that reason. And then the final tshuva is Rav Moshe. In Igros Moshe Yoreh Chilak Aleph Simen Reish Chav Gimel, he says that even though you're not yotze all three of these ideas, but he says maybe over the phone you can be yotze some of the inyanim of Bikur Cholim. And Rav Moshe and Rav Moshe says that you're mekayim the mitzvah of over the phone, but he says you're not yotze your chiyuv, meaning your chiyuv, your obligation to bikur cholim is take care of the chola as much as you possibly can. Do whatever you need to do to help the chola out. So he says you want to be yotze the mitzvah. Okay, you can be yotze the mitzvah bikur cholim by calling on the phone, but you didn't do your chiyuv. In other words, you didn't potter your chiyuv. You just got a mitzvah. You got a kiyum mitzvah for calling on the phone, but you didn't really do anything. You didn't do anything in terms of making him feel better, in terms of actually going to him to make him feel like he's actually wanted. Also, Shal, what about Skype? What about, these are like all obviously modern day shailas. It sounds like if you have the time and it's not going to cost you anything, it's not going to cost you, anything which is worthwhile costing you, you should just go and visit him in the hospital. That's what it sounds like, Lamaskan. It's probably the better thing to do. Okay, this is also a Shiloh. This is a deep theological question also, which is davening for a chola. Right? This is actually a question halacha also. It's theological and it's a halachic question. Davening for a chola. There's a famous Ron in the Dharma about this. Question is, how is it mutter to daven for a chola? Doesn't a Kodesh Baruch Hu, isn't the gzera every Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So actually, doesn't the gzera every Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur that whatever happens to the chola is going to happen? So actually, Tosfos and Shabbos asked the Shiloh, and he gives a wild answer. Tosfos and Shabbos on daf, I think it's daf Yud Beis. Tosfos and Shabbos on daf Yud, I think it's Yud Beis on the Beis. Yeah. Tosfos and Shabbos Yud Beis on the Beis asks, what's the point of Tila? What does Tila help for a chola? He says the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, Kol Nidonim be Rosh Hashanah, and Gzeir Din is Nechtam on Yom Kippur. He says, what's your Tila going to do? Tosfos says something absolutely crazy. Tosfos says, Yesh Lomar, Dehacha b'Shabbos Shebin Rosh Hashanah uvin Yom Kippur Amayre. On Shabbos Shuva, your Tila's may help a chola. Tosfos says, Shabbos Shuva, your Tila's may help a chola. Ulefimai de Meshani Hasam, fine. Then he says, "Iba yaseima kider Rabbi Yitzchak. Dam Rabbi Yitzchak yafet se'akal la'adam beikolim gzardin asi hachashapi." Here's another answer. Tosfos says, "If you hold like Rabbi Yitzchak that your tefillahs that you're crying out helps even kodim gzardinam, so then really tefillahs can help all year." But Tosfos has in his first answer says, "Your tefillahs are," he says, "inachanami, because your tefillahs are useless except during Shabbos Shuva. Shabbos Shuva is your one shot to have good tefillahs for a chola. That's it. Because after that, gzardin is sealed. That's it, and you're done." Pretty startling answer, but that's what Tosfos writes. Rav Asher Weiss also talks about whether you can be Yotze the mitzvah b'chom over the phone. He's not so sure you can be Yotze because he says even if you make him feel better, but the mitzvah is levaker as a chola. You actually have to go visit him and have to speak to him. You actually have to do something to go visit him. The Marsha actually has an interesting deal. That Gemara above Mitzia Daflamin about Yel Chuva. So the Gemara says Yel Chuva first to be b'chom. So Marsha says you actually have to walk Yel Chuva. You actually have to walk to the chola to visit him. Again, if you can't visit the chola, of course you should call him on the phone. This isn't like it's not usher to call him on the phone. It's just it's much better to go visit him in person. Rav Asher Weiss actually had an interesting svara based on this idea. He says that he has a svara that you cannot do a maimet shlushdan over a teleconference. What's maimet shlushdan? Maimet shlushdan means if you want to get a party of three people together, it's very technical din in Hilchos Shtaros about verifying a star and about. About certifying a star, so he says you can't do that over a teleconference either, but over Skype or anything like that. He says you have to be there, just like by Bichrochom, everyone has to be there, according to Rav Asher Weiss, to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. He says by my Mashkoshin, it doesn't work to have someone Skyping in. Fine. Okay, so now we're going with Bichrochom for now. So the Ramban quotes famously from the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim, the Rambam writes famously that the notion, all the mentions of Malachim in the Torah are all visions, they're not real. Whenever the Malachim came to Avraham, Malachim came to Lot, they're not real Malachim, they were in their visions. They dream them, and he says Maros HaNevuah are not to be taken literally. And the Ramban points out that this is a beferish stira galuya to every story in Sefer Bereishis, pretty much. Whenever you find a Malach by Lot, by Avram, whenever you see Malachim, he says these aren't just like Stam. These aren't dreams of the dream. There's no indication in the Pesukim that Avram is having a dream when he sees the Malachim. It says he sees Malachim, talks to them. Lot talks to the Malachim also. So he says no, these are all miraculous events that occurred on their own without any divine intervention. So the Ramban says that it's usher to hear or believe the words of the Rambam. It says absolutely, it's not true. The Pharisee against all these stories in Sefer Bereishis. It's not possible to say that these Malachim are just figurative. So the Ramban explains that the idea is that they saw the Malachim through dreams, but not through Maros HaNevuah. Meaning, in other words, he says these things are imaginative, but they're not just Nevuah. Meaning, the Rambam portrays all these things as simply being Nevuah. But the Ramban says it's not Nevuah. It was a dream. It wasn't necessarily in light of Nevuah. The Or HaChaim asks, seemingly a technical question, he says, why does the Pasuk say, how does the parasha start out? The parasha starts out, Vayira Elov Hashem. So what do we make more sense to say? Vayira Hashem Elov. Right, the tense is it's backwards. Why does it say and appeared to him God? She just said and God appeared to him. That would have made more grammatical sense. So the Or HaChaim says the Or HaChaim actually has a whole bunch of answers. One of the answers he says is that after Avram had his bris milah, he had more shlemus and he was able to more fully perceive and see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. And that's why he was actually almost ki'ilu put on the same level as Hashem in this case. He loved Hashem, not Hashem he loved, because after the milah, he was almost on the same level. Fine. And the pasuk says the pasuk Gimel Imnama Tzasi Chein Veinecha Al Nas Savor Me'al Adecha. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Shabbos that the Kuchav Zayinam and Aleph. The Gemara says that Avram Avinu, right? The Gemara learns out Gdola Hachnosas Orchim Yoser Mehakpalas Penei Shechina, that it's greater to be Machnis Oreach, to bring in guest heroes than it is to be Kabbal Shechina. And he says the Raya is because according to one, at least one shot how to read these psukim, Hashem says that Avram says to Hashem, wait here while I go get my guests. So you see, it's greater than Kabbalas Penei Shechina. The Marsha actually extends this also. We know in Parsha, the beginning of Parsha Yisro, the pasuk says Vayavo Aaron, right? Lecho Lechem Im Chosein Moshe Lifnei Ha Elokim. They came to eat bread with Yisro in front of Hashem, and the reason why Moshe's place in front before Hashem is because that's why Lefnei HaElokim is all the way at the end of the pasuk, because first we mentioned the notion of Achnas Orchim, and only then we mentioned as an afterthought, oh, by the way, it's Lefnei HaElokim, because you see the Yosher HaGdol Achnas Orchim, Yosher Mekbalas Pnei Shechina. Fine, the Gemara Bava Metzia Daf Pei Vav Amud Beis, those Gemaras are all basically the story of Parshas Vayera, the beginning of Vayera. All the drash come from those Gemaras. They read that whatever Avram did for the Malachi Hasharis, Hashem did in response for his children. Right, we know that Yukach Namat Ma'im was only passive, and therefore Hashem had to hit the rock through Moshe. But when he said Vayikachem Avichalav was active, so Hashem paid them back himself. So he says. So the Gemara says, you see from here how great Hachnasas Orchin is. Avram just did a little act, you know, he brought some butter, bread, you know, some meat and whatever. And Hashem says, okay, I'm going to pay back your children for future generations. The pasuk says Varachatzurag Lechem. So Rashi comments that Avram thought they were Arabs, and he was machmed not to bring in any sort of avak of any derivative of Avodah Zarah into his house. But Lod wasn't so machmed about that, right? Lod, as we see later, Lod just said, you know, you can come in, and he wasn't so machmed to wash their feet. So the Sif Sech Chachamim just points out over here, he says that maybe Lot just didn't realize that they were Arabs. I mean, why is the Sech Chisar and Lot? Maybe Lot just had no idea. Maybe Lot thought they were just regular Stam travelers, not they were necessarily over the Avodah Zarah. That's why he wasn't machmed. The Sif Sech Chachamim also points out over there, when the story by Lot later on in the Parsha, that when Rashi comments that Lot learned from Avram to be Machazer Achor Orchim, Lot had this trait of getting guests from Avram, he wasn't as medactic on it, because we see that Lot wasn't machmed about cleaning off the Avodah Zarah. Right? The Pasuk says, by Lot, it says first, he says, come in and stay the night, and then wash your feet. Right? So someone said, oh, you see, the Lot obviously didn't learn completely from Avram. He learned the notion of Achnas Zorkim, but he wasn't as Machmed. Now, Rashi there actually writes by Lot, he says, the reason why Lot told him not to wash your feet is because he was afraid the people of Sodom would come in and see the guest, and they would think, oh, look, their feet are clean. They must have been here for 3 days, right? And he didn't tell us about it, and then you know, they would come and attack him for that. So the question is obvious. It's a stira galuy in Rashi. Rashi here says Rashi says, oh, Avram was such a tzaddik because he said wash your feet. He was machbed about avak avodah zara, but Lot was a machbed. And then two aliyos later, Rashi says beferish. Rashi says the reason why Lot told him not to wash it because he didn't want people to sit down thinking that they were, you know, that they've been there for 3 days. I don't have an answer to this, but it's a stira. Rashi justifies Lot's actions later, and here he makes that Lot to be like a terrible Rashi. They didn't care about avak avodah zara. I don't know. Fine. And the pasuk says, "The pasuk says, 'Vesadu lebechem.'" So this is and Hashem will just say it over quickly. So "Vesadu lebechem." So Rashi comments, quotes a statement from Rabbi Chama that it doesn't say "levavchem," it says "lebechem." So what's the deal? So he says, "Oh, you see from here that the Yetzer Hara is not shoed on Malachim." Okay. So Sif Sech Chacham over there asks, he says, "But Avram didn't know they were Malachim." So how does he say "Vesadu"? Meaning it's like "Sadu lebechem." Oh, it must be because they're Malachim. They don't have a Yetzer Hara. But Avram had no idea. I don't thought they were regular people. Avram had no idea they were Malachim. So the Gur Arye, the quotes from the Maral, the Gur Arye, and from the Divrei David, the Taz, he says that Avram was speaking Balashon Kavod to his guests as if they were Malachim. I mean, of course they know that they were Malachim, but he treated them, he viewed them as if they were actually Malachim, who only had a Yitzhak, they were Anashim Chashuvin. The Medrash and Bereshus Rabbah in Parsh Vayir, Parsh Mem Chesim, and Yud Aleph quotes the Sheet of Rabbi Chia, who explains based on the Pasuk, says, we say this in Tehillim for the Yom on Monday, Shisu Libichem Lechela. So again, the word there is Libichem, not Levavchem. So the Medrash learns out that there's not going to be any Yitzhar Hara lost in love. Same idea. The Yitzhar is going to be banished in the future. The Gemara in Brachos and Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis says that Rebbe, after he would daven, would offer up a tefillah, and he would ask Hashem to save us from a whole bunch of things. One of the things he would ask to save us from the Yitzhar Hara, right? And Rabbi Alexandri would then say that Hashem, you know that we want to serve you, and the only thing preventing us is the Seor Sheba Isa. We'll get to the Radvaz in a second. The Seor Sheba Isa literally means the yeast in the dough. It's an expression that refers to the Yitzhar Hara. That's preventing us, and Sheba Malchi, who's being subjugated by the nations, is preventing us from serving you properly. Therefore, we ask you to banish the Yitzhar Hara. The Radvaz, in a very famous truth, and Chila Gimel is a tough kuf mem vav. The Radvaz asks a question which has nothing to do with anything. He's talking about Hilchos Pesach. So we know there's a din by chametz. When it comes to bedikas chametz, the din is that you have to. We're so crazy makbid, right, about bedikas chametz. It's every speck of dirt. Maybe the weasel brought the dirt back in. Maybe it brought the chametz back in. Why? He says there's no din of bedikas chazer, even bedikas baser b'chalav, which also ba'na. There's no din of bedikas baser b'chalav. Why are we so makbid by chametz? So he goes through reason after reason, rejects every reason, and eventually he says, must be because chametz is the yitzhar hara. So we have to banish the yitzhar hara. He says the halacha. He says it's true. He says that's why we're so machmir about chametz, because chametz is the yitzhar hara. Al kan divrei Rav. That's what he says. Now, on the other hand, I have a little bit of a kasha on this, Rabbi, a little bit. The Mishnah in Brachos, quoted in the beginning of the ninth parak of Brachos, Daf Nun Daled Amud Aleph tells us, a person has to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu b'chol levavecha. So the Mishnah's darshan is it has to be b'shnei yitzarecha b'yitzarat tov b'yitzahara. You have to serve Hashem with yitzahara also. So seemingly, banishing the yitzahara is not the best idea, because then you're going to be losing that notion of serving Hashem with yitzahara. The Gemara tells us in Sukkah, on Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph, that the yitzahara tries to kill us, and if not for the fact that a Kadosh Baruch Hu assisted us, we would not be able to withstand the yitzahara, we would die, we wouldn't withstand the test. Now, and the Gemara says that the Yitzhar overtakes you, says, Mashreva some maneuver the base of Medrash. Drag the Yitzhar to the base Medrash. It's the only way to fight the Yitzhar. And it says, you can melt the Yitzhar. The Gemara says in Sukkah, the Yitzhar has seven different names, and they're all representative of different traits. And he's hard like stone, or like, he's like metal, or he's like whatever. So the Gemara says, depending on what the Yitzhar is to you, you can either melt him, or you can smash him, you can bring him, whatever it is. So he says, you drag him to the base Medrash, and smash him. And the Gemara says something very striking. The Gemara says that Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu, created four things that he regretted creating. Three of them are different nations, and then one of them is the Yitzhar. So Kadosh Baruch Hu regretted that he created the Yitzhar. The Gemara says in Chagig, on Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph, that the Yitzhar tells you to sin, and Hashem will forgive you. He says, you know, kind of like, Echtav Yashuv says, don't believe the Yitzhara. You weren't Sotan. Dav Ches says the Yitzhara is only showing on things that your eyes see. So what do you see from here? This is the notion of Shmira Sainai, right? That if you protect by Rashi, then for Shlach, quotes famously from Velosa Suru, that you have to guard your eyes, right? Your eyes see, that your body desires, your heart desires, and your body commits the Averus. So when you protect your eyes, he says, you're by definition protecting, you know, you're protecting your mind, you're protecting your body from doing Averus. The Gemara Bava Kama actually, in regard to Shmira Sainai, discusses if a person has to, let's say, go somewhere, right? And there's two paths that he can walk, and he opts to walk in a path where there are women doing laundry, and there they roll up their sleeves. Says that person's called a Rasha, assuming that he has another path to go. It's the only path, then he's an honest. So he says he's called a Rasha. And even if he closes his eyes, he's called a Rasha anyway. He's called a Rasha that he opted to walk. You know, this is like, you're not walking on the beach. You're walking in Miami. You're walking in a place where women are rolling up their sleeves doing laundry. And like, halalai, that should be why women dress every day. Says that's a problem. You're called a Rasha if you do that. The Gemara says in Bava Kama. But Chasim Sofer famously always attributed his success in fighting the reform to the fact that as a child, his mother always used to put a veil on his face before he went outside. This was in the 1700s. The 1700s. There's nothing going on in 1700s. I mean, there was reform, but there was nothing like, there wasn't like the pizza that's going on. It's like, if you've walked outside, it's like walking in Times Square. You walked outside in 1700s, it's like, okay, big deal. So, you know, some woman wearing her sleeves up to here instead of up to here. Okay, big deal. But he said because he had a veil over his face, he couldn't see anything, that's what made him be able, you know, so strong in fighting the reform. It happens to be that this is just like Derek Agav, but interesting that, first of all, it's just interesting that Agav, that you can always see the hashkafa of Gedolim. The best place to look for their hashkafa is in their works on shots, really. Not, you know, you don't have to open up a machshavas here to get hashkafa. The Chasam Sofer writes in the Gemara and Shabbos in the Va'ayin Zayin. The Gemara and Shabbos in the Va'ayin Zayin of the Bay is talking about why camels have short tails and donkeys and oxen have long tails. I didn't mention this once before. It's a very, very strange Gemara. And the Gemara talks about how, like, I think it was Reb Zera and Reb Yehuda, he was in a good mood one day, and he was spewing all these halalei olam, all these, like, weird, strange things that, you know, people talk about when they're in the mood to talk about things like that. Anyway, so the Gemara asks this question, and the Gemara says, when it comes to camels have short tails because they walk by thorns, and therefore we don't want their tails to get scratched by the thorns. But oxen have long tails because they live in a swamp, and therefore they use their long tails to swat away the gnats, swat away the bugs. So the Chasam Sofer points out, he says, you see from here, he says, look, he says, the ox is living in a swamp. There's nothing surrounding him. The swamp is wide open. It's an agam. It's open on all sides. And he says, the same thing that comes to, and he says, and also, he actually says, it says the word ox in Aramaic is Torah, right? Torah, tough, vav, reish, alef. But he says, a ben Torah is a person who, he says, when you're open on all sides, you have no protection around you. So he says, you're asking for trouble. He says, if you're a Ben Torah in a swamp with nothing around you, with no fences around you, he says, you're open to everything in the world. And this is literally the Chasam Sofer. This is what the Chasam Sofer says all day. He's against, the Chasam Sofer built fences to push himself in from the reform so that he wouldn't get influenced by the outside world. That's exactly what he writes in Shabbos Ayin Zayin. He says that when you're an ox in a swamp with nothing around you, you're asking for trouble. And trouble is going to come your way, because when the whole outside world is pouring into you and you have nothing to stop you, there's no walls around you, so that's a huge problem. So you know, you can see that from there. Fine. Anyway, the Gemara in Gittin on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, in all those Tisha B'Av stories at the end of that, the Gemara says that there was an Arus and an Arusa, a man and a woman who were engaged to be married. They were taken captive amongst the guy, but didn't have a ksuba. So the Gemara says that the woman begged the man not to live with her, and says that they slept in the same bed and they never had relations once and never touched each other. So the Gemara says at the man's hesped, they said that he was greater than Yosef at Tzadik. Yosef had to put up with this test once, and he wasn't even married, and he wasn't in the same bed as her. And here they were supposed to be married, and it happened every single day, and they were in the same bed, and yet he still withstood the test. So they said his hesped was greater than Yosef. You see, he was gover his yetzer, something which was so impossibly hard to do. The pasuk says right that Avram brought out Ben Bakar Rach Vatov. So Rashi comments that there were three parim. Brought out the strangest thing. Rashi, the Avram brought out three parim in order to give them the tongues with mustard. Right? The Rashi says you should give the three tongues with mustard. So Rashi comments says, how did Rashi know that Avram was going to give them tongues to eat? Maybe he was going to give them, I don't know, a piece of steak. Who says he was going to give them tongue? So he says. Makes no sense. He says, if you have three guests over, you're not going to slaughter three cows. Three cows is a ton of meat. He says, if you have 300 people over, you might slaughter three cows. He says, there's no way in the world if he was going to give them a regular cut of meat, he was going to slaughter three cows. Must be, he was going to give them the tongue. Obviously, you got three tongues, three guests, you have to give them three separate pieces of meat. Now, why couldn't he just split one tongue? Why did he have to give three separate tongues? He says, no, because the slice of meat, the middle part of the tongue is better and the bottom part is fattier. So he says, I didn't know what people like. He says, I have to cut three tongues and just give everyone their own tongue. It's a little bit crazy. Most people don't have the kind of money to just, chef three cows. Like, oh, whatever, just give everyone their own tongue. Then he goes to the Gemara Bava Metzia Daf Pei Vav, that why did he Dafka douse the tongue in mustard of all things? It's because mustard was considered a delicacy in the times of the Gemara. It's called Machal Malachim. He also quotes from the Sefer Akedah, and the Sefer Akedah quotes that the reason why Avram did this was that so there shouldn't be any jealousy amongst his three guests, and this way he would show cover to each one by shechting three separate cows. Fine. Okay. And then the pasuk. Okay. So here we're gonna get off on a little bit of a crazy tangent, but it's an interesting one. So Rashi writes in pasuk ches. The pasuk is by yikach chema. So Rashi comments that the reason why they didn't bring out bread was because Sarah was a nida on that day, and therefore the bread was tamek. So Sefer Chacham asks, how did Rashi know that? Maybe the bread wasn't ready yet. No, Sarah was a nida. So he says no, because he quotes from pasuk in Daniel. Pasuk says aved lechem rav, that you always brought up bread was always the first thing you brought in a meal. So there's no bread. There's obviously a reason why the bread is not out. It just must be because Sarah was a nida. And then he also specifically points out that Sarah didn't actually have. The pasuk says right that Sarah lost orach kanasha. Orach kanasha means right her way of being a nida. So the Sefer Chacham says that Sarah didn't actually have orach kanashim come back to her on that day, because it says what does the pasuk say later? It says acharei velosi ha'isali edna, that she was still full of wrinkles. So I don't understand. How did Sarah get Orach Hanashim back if she's still full? She's still old. How does she get Orach Hanashim back? Meaning she lost her vessels, she lost her period, she lost her cycle. So he says the pshat is that her body and her limbs felt very heavy, meaning she felt weighed down. She was afraid that she was going to see Dam Nida. Meaning that those are the symptoms. We're going to talk about some more fully in a second. That the symptoms that accompany a woman when she becomes a Nida, that her body feels weighed down. She feels heavy. So Sarah was afraid. In other words, she hadn't seen Dam yet, but she was afraid that she might see Dam. And because, the Sefer says, because Avram was Machbeti in Chulin al Taharos HaKodesh, this is Mishnayos in Taharos, Mishnayos in Chulin. Mishnayos talk about that there's a concept that during the Zvana Mikdash, certain people who were Prushim, who were more Machbet on Halacha, Tumah V'Tahara, they were Machbet. No, technically, you're allowed to eat Chulin when you're Tumah, but they were Machbet to eat Chulin even in the Torah. So since Avram was Machbet to eat Chulin even B'Tahara, Sarah didn't even use the dough because she was afraid she was going to become a Nida in the process and thereby make the dough Tumah. And because we also know it was Pesach, just Derech Agav, we also know that it was Pesach now, so therefore the bread turned to chametz and then bring it out. I mean, Sarah was afraid to touch the dough because she might become a nida. So, but if it touched the dough is going to rise. So they let the dough rise, the dough became chametz, it's Pesach, you can't bring out the dough because it's chametz. Now you got the shiloh. What about Bayirah, Bayi Masi? How do you have the dough? Okay, so these are like semantic shilohs, because it's like there was no Torah yet, I'm getting the Torah, didn't get the Torah. Whatever. These are good questions. They're technical questions, and whatever. Fine. Another pasuk says Vayochelu. So Rashi comments that they made it appear as if the Malachim says as if they were eating, so they shouldn't be Mishana from the Minhag. But no, because you always have to stick to the Minhag. So the Malachim pretended to eat. So the Sefer Chacham asks, how does Rashi know that? Maybe the reason why they were eating is because the Malachim don't eat. In other words, it's like, oh, the Malachim pretended to eat because they want Mishana from the Minhag of Ha'olam to eat. Maybe the Malachim didn't eat because Malachim don't eat. In other words, why would they have to pretend to eat because we're Mishana from the middle? So he says, if that was the case, the Pasuk shouldn't have said anything at all. The Pasuk says, Tachas eat, Vayochelu. What do you mean Vayochelu? If Malachim don't eat, then just say, they sat Tachas eat and they sat around and blew a cigar. I don't like, why does it say that they were eating? Obviously, the fact is that they had Mishana, they couldn't be Mishana from the Minna. Then he quotes from Tosus above Metzion, Daf Pei Vav, and the Devar David and the Taz. And he says that they ate out of kavod for Avram. He says again, they weren't actually eating. They were eating only mishum kavod. Fine. Then Rashi quotes the pasuk by Yomru Elav. Rashi in his final pshat quotes Rabbi Chanina. He says that the Malachim sent Sarah a kos shel bracha. Zvar of student. What in the world does that mean? So the Sefer Chachamim quotes that Avram didn't want to send the kos himself to Sarah because Sarah was a nida. So therefore, she would be metame the mashkin inside the kos. So they sent it to Sarah. They sent the kos to Sarah, and the Sefer Chachamim also points out that Sarah was sitting. She was isolated by herself because the way of nashim nidos is to sit by themselves, sit isolated. Now we got a little bit of a mini shira nida, just a little like whatever. Fine. So the halakha is mido raisa. If a woman sees dam nida during her period, which is called a veses kavod. Okay, basically like words like this. A woman sees dam during her period, it's called a veses. Okay, every woman has a cycle for a month, throughout the month, and she sees dam. If a woman sees dam in between her nida periods, so for the Gemara says that for the 11 days between her nida periods, she's considered to be what's called a shomeres yom kineged yom. Okay, if a woman sees dam for either 1 or 2 days in between her nida periods, she's called a shomeres yom kineged yom, or she has a din of a zava kitana. Okay, if she sees dam for 3 days during between her nida periods, then she's called a zava gedola. A zava gedola has to go to the mikvah. She's coming 7 days. She has to do the karban. So if a woman sees dam during her period, then she's called a nida, right? She's tummy for 7 days. Again, if she sees during the 11 days, so that depends how many times she sees dam, that's going to determine whether she's tummy for 1 day, 7 days, whether she'll have a karban or not. Fine. And then also the din is that the there's very, very complicated mishnayos in the beginning of Erechin. Mishnah of Chesam and Erechin, mishnayos in Nida. The Mishnah talks about a very, very, very complicated case. The Mishnah says that if a woman is a Nida and she loses count, meaning she's not sure if she's in her Nida cycle or in between and as a Zava, and then she sees Dam. So the question is a very, very, very complicated question about how do we assess what she's up to? The Mishnah talks about that she could be tummy anywhere up to 17 days until we get our count straight again. So, and there's also problems of mixing up her carbonos that she has to bring, because there are different kinds of carbonos, for nidas and for zavas. So it's like a very tricky over there. So we assume as manazeh that all women have the status of a suffix zava, suffix nida. That's what we assume as manazeh. Now, it happens to be that Rebbe made a takana that if nashim basados sidam, okay, so the assumption is that blood they're seeing is dam ziva, not dam nida, and therefore they can go to the mikvah and tire themselves as a din of a zava and not as a din of a nida. Now, again, if the woman only sees dam in between her periods only once or twice, it's not such a big deal because only as a zavaktana she will tell me one day, and it's really not such a big deal. The problem is, if she sees dam for at least three days in between her period, they have a very, very big shaila. If everyone's a suffix of a suffix nida, and she sees dam three times, so now you have a big problem. If she's a zava, then she's tell me 7 days. You see that a nida meikra din is really probably not tell me 7 days. We'll see that in a second. Now, also another interesting thing is that we know that there are certain kinds of people who are tameh who are obligated to go tovel in a ma'ayan. Normally, if you go to mikveh, so you go to your local mikveh and you go to mikveh and you're fine. However, the pasuk tells us that a zav, for example, a man who has a certain kind of discharge, he's chayav to go to a marach ma'ayanu vor mikveh ma'ayim yeter. He dafka has tovel in a ma'ayan. That's Allah halacha goes with Sinai. So Rashi, there's steers in Rashi throughout Shas whether a zava also has tovel in a ma'ayan. It's unclear. He quotes from the yes, sometimes no. But if you assume that a zava is tovel in a ma'ayan, and you assume that all women today are suffering zava, so nida, so then it's like a svekseka, almost like a svekseka. Maybe women also have to tovel in a ma'ayan. Pashas is that we don't assume that way, but it's a possibility. Now there's another interesting. In the beginning of Pashas Tazria, so the pesukim describes something that's called dam tahara. What's dam tahara? That means that we know that if a woman is pregnant with either a boy or a girl, and the woman gives birth, so the halacha is that typically when the woman gives birth, so we assume that she's tamea for, depending on the boy or girl, either 1 week or 2 weeks, and then afterwards she's tahora either for 33 or 66 days, depending again, boy or girl. So we assume lemaisa today that there's no such thing as dam. I mean, the assumption of the pesukim is beferish. There's a concept called dam tahara that even after the woman gives birth for these 33 or 66 days, so any dam she sees she's going to be tahora. That's dead in the pasuk. We assume lemaisa. We don't assume that way today. We assume that because we're not bekim and what dam tahara really is, and therefore we assume that all women today when they see dam, it's not called dam tahara, and therefore they're going to be tummy like a regular nida. The Rambam mentions something interesting in Hilchos Deos, and then the Ramban echoes the same idea, famous Ramban in the beginning of Kedoshim, the notion about, right, the Rambam in Hilchos Deos points out that a person should be, even though it's mutter to live with your wife, but he says you should be poorish, you shouldn't do it, right, the Rambam has the expression, you should be like a rooster who's just, you know, having to be ila all the time. He says you should be poorish. The Gemara in Megillah and the Gemara in Nida quotes a famous Chumrah of Rabbi Zera. The Gemara Rabbi Zera, the Chumrah, that the Benos Yisrael are machmir al-atzman to observe Shiva Nekiyam, even if they only see Roas Tipas Dam Kechardel, even if they only see a drop of blood, they observe Shiva Nakiyam. So Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachos, so Gemara in Brachos goes also. So Rabbeinu Yonah commenting on the Brachos, Gemara in Brachos, and Daf Lamed Aleph says that the Chashash is that maybe the woman actually had dam stored up inside of her body for the last 3 days, and the Chiddush is that even if only a drop of blood comes out, she observes Shiva Nakiyam, because maybe, in other words, because maybe the blood was building for 3 days, maybe she's really like a zava or something like that. So the Chiddush is that okay, it's only a Chumra Bialma. The Ramban has he wrote a thing called Hichos Nida. So the Ramban writes that since there's a scenario, there's a possible case where if the woman sees Tifas Dam at the very, very end of her Zayin Akim, at the very end of her 7 days of observing Tahara, she now would have to observe a totally new set of 7 days, because there's one such scenario. So we're going to be gozer in all cases of Tifas Dam Tahara, even not at the end of the 7 days, because of that one case. And therefore, we're going to assume as a Chumrah that all women are Tameim Shivas Yamim, even though it's really just a Chumrah Biyama. The Meiri in Brachos says that once women were Makabel, this Chumrah themselves, it became a halacha of Sukkah Sheinah of Tshuva. You can't, this Chumrah is now considered like a real minhag, and Rav Gusman in Kuntres Yeshua and Kiddushin talks about this, and he says that you can be makel for the Zayin Akim in order to be makai mitzvah pru revu, meaning if you have a couple who haven't had a boy and a girl yet, so we pass pru revu is a boy and a girl, so then the Gusman says ikar adin, they can be makel because she is only chumra biyama. A little bit tricky. Rav Moshe was asked very very lumdy shakash. Someone asked him, I as a man, I'm a chayim peru revu, and the woman knows that I'm a chayim peru revu. Am I allowed to? Very interesting headshot. He says, am I allowed to tell my wife to have relations during the shivan akim, which is a chomer biyama, but for her it's a minhag, but for me I don't have shivan akim. Can I tell her? And he wrote the gemara in Shabbos Davdala, chate b'shvil sheyiska chavercha. Meaning, we know the gemara talks about this. The gemara says, am I allowed to commit a small avera to save my friend from a larger avera? So meaning, can my wife can violate the chumrah, minhag, whatever, of shivan akim to be makayim into a puruhu? So Rav Moshe, first of all, said he wasn't so convinced that even the man himself was able to be mako, because since it's a minhag, it's a halach, it's considered like a halach psuka, so Rav Moshe wasn't so happy about it. Some posts are mako, some posts, it's not so clear you're allowed to be mako about this, the chlau. There was Chazal also made a Gemara talked about this. Chazal in Gemara needs says Chazal made a later takana that women who are poleta shech vazer, they ejaculate semen from their body, are also timea. There are also other issues there about confusing her count, about what she's up to, whether she's a zava, whether she's a nida. And Rav Moshe and Rav Tzvi Pesach Frey both pointed out that there's some very, very big problems if you assume that a woman would have a very, very short period of tahara, of where she's allowed to live with her husband. So they try to chip away and find some kulas to allow women even zainakim. And Rav Tzvi Pesach Frey suggests that women should only be tova once every other month. And Rav Moshe says that maybe you shouldn't keep the 5 days before Sfirat Shuvah. There's a chumra that women keep the extra 5 days before they count 7 days of Dam Nida. So Rav Moshe says maybe don't keep those 5 days. Meaning they try to find kulas to chip away because otherwise you're basically stuck. And there's a cute Ha'ara, Tosos and Ksupin Daf Ayin Beis, and Menachos and Daf Samachay discuss the possibility of a bracha, reciting a bracha for the counting of the days for a Zav. He says the bracha might be Al Sfirasa Omer. Tosos suggests that actually as a possibility. The bracha you make for Sfiras Shiva for a Zav and for a Zav maybe is Al Sfirasa Omer. Whatever, Tosos is not so convinced. Maybe. Also, just a couple of other halachas about Nida. So the Gemara Nida says that a woman is a very important halacha. A woman only becomes a Nida with Hargasha. Okay, this is a very, 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 this halacha is a very, very big machlokes, aposkim. That a woman becomes Tameh if she has Hargasha, meaning if she feels that she bled and she sees blood, okay, so that's Nida right, so she's considered to be a Nida in that case. That's based on a drusha. The Gemara has a drusha in Nida, and Nun Zayin. The Gemara has a drusha based on the word Bivsara. You actually have to feel the blood coming from you. But Nida Rabbanan, we assume that there's still Tumah with a stain of blood even without Hargasha. Even feel it. Rashi says it's the Machlokes. Rashi tells us why is there still two Mamid Rabbanan. So Rashi says it's a Gzeira Atu Hargasha in case, right, we're going in case there is Hargasha. And Tosu says the Pshat is no, it's a totally new Dindar Rabbanan. No new Hargasha, there's some Dindar Rabbanan that even if you have Dam Nida Dam without a Hargasha, there's also Tamis. So the Shulchan Aruch in Yoridin, it's in a Kuf Tzadi, Nilkos Nida. So he says the Mida Rabbanan were Machmir even without Hargasha. You know, there's no Hargasha, we're Machmir Mida Rabbanan. And if there's anything Fakir, what if you only have Hargasha without Riyah? What if you had a woman had Hargasha's Dam, but no Dam Kipan? He says, so some people say that's Tamei also. That's also unclear. He says that some people say the case which might be to me also. The Maram Shik, which is quoted by Titz Eliezer in Mechilat Vavsim Chafal, he says that there is women do feel Hargasha's Dam in general. The Machlokes is whether we just lost the women lost the feeling of Hargasha's Dam, or whether it's just like, yeah, you have Hargasha's Dam, of course you do. So Maram Shik and Titz Eliezer says, yeah, that there is a notion of Hargasha. Rav Moshe says that women are not Bekiyan in Hargasha, but it happens. And then some people say that maybe because you are the holy La'olam, there is no more Hargasha today. So it's a little unclear what the Metzia says about Hargasha. Okay, so fine. There's machlokes aposkim about it. Okay, fine. We should leave the rest of this. Fine. Okay, and more interesting stuff. The pasuk again, I need to. So the pasuk says that Vatischak Sarah b'kirbal leimor, right? So the Gemara Megillah Daf Tesa Mabi is a famous Gemara about Talmai Amalek and the Septuagint, right? The whole, you know, whatever academic Gemara. The Gemara actually stira's in academia and Gemara, which, whatever, 70, 72, however you understand that. But anyway, the Gemara says they made a whole bunch of changes to the Torah. One of the changes they made to the Torah was, instead of writing Vatitzchak Sarah b'kirbah, they wrote Bikroveha, to her relatives. Why do they do that? So Rashi explains, because people, they were afraid that people would say, look, Avram also laughed when he heard the Yitzchak was going to be born. He wasn't punished, only Sarah was punished. So they say, oh no, Sarah said Bikroveha. So the question is obvious. So Taka, why was Sarah punished and Avram not? Meaning, if in truth they both did laugh, so why did they both laugh inside? So Shad is, it's actually, if you look at Unkelus, it's actually Meduk. Unkelus has different translations for Avram's laughter and for Sarah. For Avram's laughter, it's a laughter of Simcha. It's Fechadei. For Sarah, it's vechuche. It's like chukav etvul. It's like it's like a mockery. So therefore, that's why Sarah was punished. Okay, then interesting. Pasuk said the famous pasuk, right? Ki yedativ l'man asher yitzaves banaves beso acharav shomer derech Hashem lasos tako mishpat l'man havi Hashem al Avram is asher oseh, something like that, right? It says that Hashem says, oh, you know why Avram is such a gavaldic person? He commands his house to follow my ways. In order that I should give to Avram all that I promised to give, all the land that I promised to give. So Rashi says, you see from this pasuk that you see that whoever's mom and a ben tzaddik is if he never died. Because yeah, Avram keeps on promulgating on more and more children as if he never died. So Chum says, I don't understand. He says, it's the only reason why Avram served Hashem was l'man havi Hashem al Avram eis asher ani oseh, is only to get the promises that Hashem promised him, to get Eretz Yisrael. Avram was serving Hashem shalom l'shma to get Eretz Yisrael. That's why he was serving Hashem Baruch Hu. Says it's crazy. So he quotes from the Ma'arav from the Gur Ariyeh that Avram, the only reason why he wanted Eretz Yisrael was to be able to do more mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. That's the only reason why he wanted the land to begin with. He wanted to be able to do more mitzvahs. We know the famous Gemara in Sota and Daf Yudal. The Gemara says, what? The Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael because he wanted to eat the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. You crazy? Of course not. He wanted to go do mitzvahs of Kliyas Baris. That's why he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. Avram wanted the land to do the mitzvahs that were associated with, not just stomp because he wanted Eretz Yisrael. Want a piece of property? He wanted the Kedusha Saaretz. Okay, this is really like an intro to Bible thing, but I'll just mention it very quickly. The pasuk says, "Va'avraham odenu omei lefnei Hashem." So Rashi comments the reason why it's written like this and not as the Hashem odenu omei lefnei Avraham, which sounds like a more appropriate way to say it, is because, which sounds like the real way. Rashi, it's tikkun sofrim. Rashi Pippas writes Tikkun Sofrim Kida Hakka. So this is a whole intro to Bible, of course, which I don't feel like giving because I'm not whatever. But Tikkun Sofrim Kida Hakka are expressions that Rashi uses. Rashi quotes in Navi and Malachi and Eo. Rashi quotes this also, that it's hard to explain what Tikkun Sofrim means. It's like, well, who fixed the Torah? Was it HaKadosh Baruch Hu fixed the Torah? Was it Moshe fixed the Torah? Was it someone later fixed the Torah? So these are all debates. These are like actually, these sound like clear debates, but they're actually legitimate debates. These are real debates about, you know, the authorship of different. In terms of Torah, it's a little bit trickier because Torah is Moshe Rabbeinu, maybe a little Yehoshua at the very end, you know, Rambam Basra. But when it comes to Nach, for sure, Nach, you know, Rambam Basra talks about who wrote different Sefer Nach. The Bar Menel rips apart that Gemara and he says, Bar Menel has a whole different list of people who wrote because, and the Bar Menel says, you know, he says, you don't need Meshuvah to the Gemara. He says, because the Gemara was going based on what they assumed. And he proves, he has like Raya's Gluyos that the Gemara can't be trapped about who wrote Sefer Nach. I think it's interesting, Bar Menel, you should read it. Okay. We know Rashi writes his famous comment also by Lot, by Umatzos Afa Vayochilu. So Rashi says, it was Pesach. Shkoyach. That's where they're making matzos, because it was Pesach. So, I mean, aside from all the anachronistic problems with that Gemara, which is like, Pesach never happened. I mean, like, you could, it's one thing to say that, it's like, okay, so they were keeping the mitzvahs before the Torah was given, but it's like, some mitzvahs are just like, so, it's like, what is Pesach? Pesach is Zecher, the whole Pesach is Zecher, it's a drive. Zecher is something that never happened yet. So that's a big kashya. That's a very big kashya. But the Sefer Chaim has a more technical kashya, which is why when we find in the beginning of the parasha, Avram's making his cakes. It doesn't say, it says Lushi Vasi Ugos. It doesn't say Lushi Vasi Ugos Shamat. It just says Lushi Vasi Ugos. I wasn't a Pesach there also. So Sefer Chaim says that Avram was committed to being Matzah Shira for his guests. That's why he doesn't say Ugos, because really, it's really Matzah Shira is really called Ugos also. And we know, coming over to the time that when Erev Pesach fell on Shabbos, he would use Matzah Shira for Shal Shudis. This is also a big debate about how do you use Shal Shudis. Rabbi Kivagor says there's no Chiva Shal Shudis, or maybe you use Peros for Shal Shudis. It's a big debate about this when Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, which happens every, you know, every bunch of years. Interesting, this week's parasha is the first of the four Shal Shalises, or Shal Shalos, whatever the technical word is. The Torah on the word Vayismama. So actually, I heard this before. I never heard this from Sobolsky, because I quoted from the name of Sobolsky. Okay. That there were four places in the Torah where we have a Shal Shalos. We have this week's parasha on the word Vayismama. Lot was hesitant to leave Sodom. We have the next week's parasha in Parashat Chayisara, the word Vayomer, but that Eliezer was hesitant to go and fight. He wanted to marry off his own daughter to Yitzchak. And we have a parasha Vayeshev by also I think it's Vayomer by Yosef refusing to live with Eish Potifar. And parasha Tzav, And Parshas Sa, we have Vayishchat, that Moshe was hesitant to go, you know, to give the diamond and to make Aaron to become the next Kohen. He wanted to have the position himself. The point is that all these four cases, that there was a hesitation on the part of, you know, depending on the context, of each party of doing what they're supposed to do. Okay, almost done yet. So, this is actually crazy. The pasuk says that Vatihin Nitziv Melach, right? We know Ishas Lo becomes a pillar of salt. Okay, so Rashi comments, okay, she sinned with salt, she became a pillar of salt. Fine. In Pirkei the Rebbe Eliezer, they actually tell you what her name was. Her name was Irit. Ayin Yud Ratio Tav. Irit. Or Iris, I don't know. The Ralbag and the Cheskuni point out that maybe the reason why she turned into salt had to do with the fact that the city was struck with Gafris Va'ish, sulfur, fire, and everything was plagued. And actually, there were some, I don't know if they're historians or whatever, academics who have claimed that there was some kind of radioactive, I can call it nuclear warfare. It's not really warfare, it's not nuclear either. It's just the thing that you would imagine in a nuclear disaster happened to Sodom. That's basically the equivalent of a nuclear disaster happened to Sodom. Then we know, yeah. the pasuk says, right, that Vayizkor Elokim as Avraham, so Rashi comments, Hashem remembered Lot for good because he didn't tell anybody that, you know, Avram and Sarah were really married and they weren't sisters, you know, when he was traveling with them. So he remembered him for good. And I think we mentioned this last week also, that Lot, this whole dichotomy, Lot being the Yitzhar on the one hand, according to the Zohar, on the other hand, he's a striving tzaddik, he's like a paradigm of a tzaddik. The pasuk then says, we know the whole story of Benos Lot, so first of all, pasuk is about Taharena Benos Lot Me'avihen. So Rashi says that Benos Lot became pregnant Mibia Rishona. They became pregnant Mibia Rishona. So the morning of Thomas, the Flamadal, and says that Tamar also, Tamar by Ishus Rehuda, also became pregnant Mibia Rishona. Now the Gemara actually says in Nivamos that it's impossible to become pregnant Mibia Rishona. So the says, what do you mean, Tamar? And the Gemara doesn't ask about this, but apparently also Benos Lot. It happens to be Rav Moshe in the Hagdama to, I think it's Chelches, which is not the newest, the one before that. There's like 40 pages of Hagdama in Chelches of Igros Moshe of all these crazy stories about Rav Moshe. But these aren't like article biography stories. These are real stories that happened to Rav Moshe. And one of the stories, apparently he's having this meeting. Some guy's very sick in a hospital, and he comes to visit this guy, and the guy starts talking to Rav Moshe. And he starts telling him the whole story. He says, you know, at the Shabbos table 3 weeks ago, I was talking about Benos Lot. I said, there are such wicked people, the Benos Lot. He's like, father is terrible, terrible, terrible. And then he says, in a dream, one of the Benos Lot came to me and told me that you don't even understand what we went through. We were the biggest tzaddikim. He says, we did everything with Shema, and now because you said you spoke Lashon Hara, now you're going to die. Apparently, I die the next day. So this is Rav Moshe. This is not like Sechazik. It's Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe said, you know, like, I'm not the kind to believe these kind of stories. But he says, I saw this happen in front of my eyes. So he says, you know, he says, you should be careful about what you say from your figures in Tanakh. Yeah, it's a pretty wild story. Okay, just a couple more. Just a couple more ha'aros.
Yeah.
We also have. So this is interesting. Also, we mentioned the pasuk says. Let's skip around here a little bit. The pasuk says, right, that Hagar puts Yishmael underneath the tree, and she says, "Ki amra ala Rebbe Moshe Yalra." I don't want to see Yishmael die. So Rashi says that since he was about to die, so Hagar distanced herself from Yishmael. So the Abar Menel in the beginning of Parsha Shmuel also points out that Yocheved hid Moshe in a box when he was naked. Right? Why? Because the climate in Egypt was so hot. He didn't want right that she didn't want her body to sweat. So the Abar Menel says the same thing happened by Hagar. Hagar hid Yishmael under a tree because Hagar knew she was defenseless to protect Yishmael against everything that was around. She said, I'll put him under the shade. At least he has a shot. He said, I can't protect him. So Hagar here seems to have very good intentions. But the Malbim actually says, that Hagar, Yishmael is called Ben Hagar HaMitzris because he was influenced by Hagar also, that he acted in the ways that Hagar did. And also the pasuk says, Harchik Kimtacha Vekesh. It's a very strange expression, right? He distanced her like the shot of an arrow. So he said, the Malbim says, the pshat is that Hagar actually was didn't want anything to do with Yishmael. Put Yishmael away, and once he stopped crying, she like ran away from Yishmael because she didn't want to see Yishmael die. And then the Meshech Chachma also points out an interesting comment that Hatzvatelech Vatesa Bim Bar Be'er Shava. So Meshech Chachma says this is the place where Adam Levinu davened, and he says Vizesh Shara Shemai. That's where Hagar davened. And the Medrash also quotes that the word Kimtachave is related to the word Matachas, that she complained against Hashem and she directed complaints towards Hashem. She said, yesterday you told me Harba Arba Zareich, and now you're telling me that Yishmael's going to die. You know, I'm meaning the exact same complaint or whatever. Question to Hashem. She said, didn't you just tell me that Yitzchak Koya Zarecha, and now you're telling me to Shechtim? So you see the very striking parallels between Hagar and Avram. Very, very strange. Like, interesting. Hagar and Avram have all these, like, their lives almost like intersect a little bit. Just a Hara. But it's also just because, you know, Hagar is not exactly, Hagar is like a, don't know. It's a little bit of a hard character to quantify. On the one hand, she sees like she's Bas Paro, but she wants to come to Avram. She wants to be like in Avram's house. On the other hand, she lets her kid die. And it's machlokes of Barbanel and Mamma. We just see just how complicated Hagar's personality is. We'll end up with one last part. This is one of my favorite. It's actually a mahalaf a little bit, but it's about Pichol. Okay, so Pichol. Who is Pichol? So Pichol is the unknown. And probably will always be unknown, but he was Avimelech's sergeant, right? He was the Sar Tzva. He's mentioned in last week's parsha, in this week's parsha, and parsha Toldos. He's mentioned three times in the Torah. The question is, who is Pichol? So the Abarbanel writes in parsha Toldos. He says that Avimelech only in parsha Toldos, you see Avimelech comes with achuzas meriyeh, only a small percentage, a small portion of his entourage, because he's trying to make peace with someone. It's not a good idea to come with like a whole army. It's like make peace with me or I'll kill you. That's not the best move. And the Orachaim has some very very interesting technical pshat about nedarim and shvuos. And he talks about how Avimelech wanted to be Makayim the Shua that he made with Avram, right? Intershkor li ulni niul nechti. He wanted to be Makayim that Shua, so he came with people to Machazik the Shua. Okay, fine. The Medrash says the reason why he was called Pichol was because Alpeb, through his mouth, all the people went out to war. In other words, he was the sergeant, he was the general of the army. Now, here's where things get strange. The Kolbo, as I say for Halacha, it's Simon Chafe. The Kolbo writes that when a person has Birkas HaMazon HaSheva Brachos, he has a whole addition, it's a whole like Nusach HaBracha, which I don't think anyone says. It's a whole Nusach HaBracha for what you should say. And in the end of that Bracha, he writes the following. He says, Ke'av Shalach Avimelech Ufichol V'Nodeh Al Priha Eshkol. Says, like a father, the Avimelech HaPichol sent, and they thanked on the fruits of the cluster. So the Maor Vashemesh, which is a Sefer HaChassidus, he writes in Rosh Hashanah, that Pichol symbolizes the Malach. There's also a debate whether you're allowed to pronounce this Malach's name. Mem Tes Tes, Metatron is his name. He's actually mentioning one in Chagiga, so I feel a little more comfortable saying his name. In the Gemara about Pardes. So he represents that Malach. That Malach apparently is the Melitz. He's like the intermediary on behalf of Klal Yisrael. And it says on his mouth, Kol Gzeros of Nechtachin Al Piv. By his mouth, all the Gzeros are cut out. The Gemara in Megillah has a similar drasha by in Megillah's Esther, Hasach. Now, why is it called Hasach? The Gemara says Hasach is Daniel. Called Hasach because Kol Gzeros of Malach are also Nechtachin Al Piv. Similar drasha. And then also the more of writes in Sukkis, he says we know that the Umos HaOlam, we know that we bring the 70 Parim on Sukkis that correspond to the Umos HaOlam. He says the Umos HaOlam have to thank Klal Yisrael for the state in which they find themselves, and therefore Avimelech and Pichol went against their will to thank Yitzchak, and Parshas Toldos for all that, and that's why they travel to Yitzchak. And here's the kicker: the Oy of Yisrael, the Afterov writes that Pichol is the physical manifestation of some kind of Malach that pours down Shefa and sustains the entire world. He's the one who zan mefarnis the whole world. And this is my own vart. This is my own idea, which is that this fits in perfectly with the Kolbo. What in the world is Pichol and Avimelech doing in the middle of Birkas HaMazon? It says, Pasha, Birkas HaMazon. What's Birkas HaMazon? Thanking Hashem for all the Shefa and food and bracha that you have. Wow. That's what Pshat is. He says, because he sustains the world with, I think even the Lashon, I don't know the Lashon in front of me, but I think he has a similar, like, Zanu Mefarnes, which is like Lashon of Birkas HaMazon.
Yeah.
He says, and that's the Pshat. He says, Pichol is mentioned the bracha Birkas HaMazon because he's the representation of things that give us sustenance. But we I talk about the Akedah so much because I feel like Akedah is just like there's too much to talk about the Akedah. Okay,
Shkach.
Wow.
Great. Thank you.